Welcome to the Writer Access Writer Podcast, bringing you new authors in one of today's hottest fields, content marketing. Here's your host, Writer Access founder and CEO, Byron White.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm here with Casey Joseph. Casey, welcome.
Thank you, Byron.
Great to be here with you. Brief footnote, I've enjoyed working with Casey for the last, oh gosh, I'd say 5 years. Casey came to us as a client initially, and we learned quickly that he was a content strategist and could actually help some of our other customers as he was doing. So I'm very excited for everybody to chat with Casey today and learn about his career. Casey, tell us a little bit about your current interest in content strategy and how that sort of came about.
Sure. I think the realization that I was a content strategist first came in a conversation I had with you when I was managing 1,000 articles for a client and helping them with an editorial calendar as well as synchronize their communication. And as I was discussing that with you, you mentioned, oh, well, you're a content strategist. And I hadn't heard the term before, but it was, as I looked it up on the computer as we were talking, it occurred to me that is what I do. And it just seemed to summarize very well where I wanted to go with my future. So I have you to thank for that.
Thanks for the thanks. But you really were very deep with content strategy from an early time period on. I remember, for example, we talked a little bit about language analysis, which you had some deep experience with. And Aaron and I had just baked up a triangulation of trying to score and analyze content using a few different scoring platforms. Do you remember that and how you actually worked with us on that? And we actually came up with a way to do that using some data we had pulled together. Remember that conversation?
I do remember that. I think we were using things like flash reading scores.
Exactly.
And at the time, we were trying to make sure that the writers were appealing to a specific audience. And, you know, I was impressed with your ability to incorporate those into the platform. And I think it's also interesting to look back at how that's evolved, where, you know, Google has just gotten so much more savvy in terms of linguistical and semantical analysis.
Mm-hmm. Casey, tell us a little bit about how you approach customers now and how you put content strategy to work for some of the clients that you're working with.
Sure. I think,
how do you begin with them?
Well, I think content strategy begins with strategic thinking. And so that's where I like to begin with my customers, is a recognition that they can create assets and they can have tools, but if they don't have a direction for those, then they're not going to be as efficient and effective as they want. So I start by scheduling time to really think about who they are as a business, who their audience is, and what message they want to communicate before we dig too deeply into the tactics of what they're doing.
Right on. Do you find that people often approach you thinking that you're going to be a tactician and do a quick diagnosis and start just banging out content for them? Do you find that people are still making that mistake and not approaching content strategy the way that it should be?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there is legacy thinking from SEO that factors into that people have a belief that if I produce content and I do it at a certain frequency on certain days, then that's going to get me where I need to go. And even though they know they need to appeal to their audience and nurture relationships with them, it's easier to approach it that way. And I think that sometimes we default to what's easy rather than what's effective. And tactics seem to be easier for people than really challenging their perspectives and their thinking.
Where do you think content strategy is doing the right thing? And how did you learn content strategy?
I would say that's a deeper question. I'll kind of give my answer in parts and we could flesh it out.
Sure.
But I would say that content strategy, if you think of the two words independently, if strategy is just kind of a sensible way to get from place to place, then people thinking about how they're going to do that and continuously thinking, so So testing and adapting is extremely important for a very rapidly changing landscape. So I think that, you know, the fact that we're strategists is reflective of what is needed for a rapidly changing market. And so I think content strategy is the right idea in that regard. It's focused on the thinking. And then the content is really the information. So the strategy is how we structure that information in a meaningful way and how we adapt. And then the content itself is what information we present. And that's really kind of the fodder for knowledge and how companies communicate with their customers. And that communication with the customers is what nurtures the loyal, profitable relationships that they're seeking.
Mm-hmm. So as you deploy content strategy for customers, how has it changed? Is there anything new that you're doing or differently? And do you have sort of a pro-formatted approach to how you work with every customer? You know, do you start out by doing mm-hmm. keyword research and doing competitive analysis? Do you look at their existing content, scoring the quality, and you know, looking at how they're currently fitting in the marketing puzzle? How do you as a strategist approach working with a customer, and how do you charge for that?
Well, I think that I make some distinctions up front, because similar to how physics evolved or some early forms of computer science, there was a time where scientists were scientists. They looked at everything related to science, or computer scientists looked at everything related to computers. I mean, we could look at those fields now and see that they're highly specialized, that you can't be everything to everyone. And I think that this field is evolving in the same way. So there is a distinction that needs to be made between what SEO does and what paid search does and what a content strategist does, and what content marketing is in reference to content strategy. So I try to make sure that my clients are clear about that, that I could help them with their thinking about their business, and understanding that and their audience upfront is going to help them understand what keywords might be more aligned with their business goals and the type of communication they're trying to have with their customer. And then we can work with their SEO team to really look at the digital competition and what keywords are most viable, and find an agreement between what they're really trying to accomplish with their relationships with their customers and what's going to be most viable online. So that's the first distinction. But once that distinction is clear, then my first step, I used to just delve into helping them with tools and helping them with writing specific content assets. And I learned very quickly that it doesn't work well for them and it doesn't work well for me, in the sense that you can create an article that's exactly what they want, but it may not be informed on their listening to the voice of their customer or knowing what they want to say. And it's not going to be an effective article. So I want to make sure first their vision and their mission, their truthful story, as I call it, is clear. Their concept of their audience is clear, even if that's giving me data that they've already, you know, researched and thought about, and that they know what message they want to communicate before I touch a content asset or get into their digital marketing strategy. So that's the first step. And I could tell you, if you want, how that gets priced and how that actually plays out tactically.
Sure. Let's get to that. I have some exciting things to just toss your way, Casey. You've been such a good sounding board over the years, and I'm going to give you a unique opportunity to give me your honest reaction to a few new products that we're thinking about rolling out that content mm-hmm. strategists like you would potentially complete for customers that are desperately trying to develop content strategy without all of the knowledge they need, and a simple, easy way to approach content strategy. Ready for this exercise?
Sure. Let's
try it. I love this. Casey's so receptive to these Byron sort of creative things that I have to throw up. All right. So the first product, these are all what I call predefined products that we would charge fixed rate prices for. So I'm going to ask you, what do you think of the product? And what do you think we should charge a client for it? depending upon the star level of the content strategist. You're obviously one of our premier six-star writers. So we've asked you, okay, Casey, what would you charge to do something like this? So the first product is called a keyword map, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to read you a quick description of it. Optimizing content for readers in the search engine starts by researching and selecting the best keywords and organizing those keywords into topic groups that help writers drive performance. This product offers the keyword research and recommendations grouped by topic so you can hit the ground running with search engine optimization and performance. So in a nutshell, what this thing does is there would be one conference call to review the goals. You'd research up to, say, 5,000 keywords. You'd probably use a product like SpyFu to quickly find the competitive keywords that all the competitors are driving organic traffic from. Maybe you pull 5,000 from there. You'd select a couple of hundred keywords that you think would be worthy of focusing on for both optimization and content creation. You'd want to build a balance of those 200 keywords to be what I call short, long, and medium tail keywords, meaning some of them are more or less difficult to achieve top listings for. And you'd want to group the keywords into, say, in the end, 5 or 10 topic silos and deliver the keywords back to the customer in an Excel spreadsheet. I would show you and the client a sample spreadsheet on this. But the net of it is you would do the grinding and do the research to find the roadmap, to find the best path for the customer to be left with a couple hundred keywords to focus on for optimization. What's your thought on that product, and what would you charge for it?
Well, I see value to a content strategist being involved in that process.
Yep.
But I also see it mostly as the realm, I shouldn't even say mostly, but I see that there would be a strong interaction with an SEO team. So I guess my first question, my answer is really a question to you.
Mm-hmm.
In that task, what is the distinction that's being drawn for you between the work of a content strategist and an SEO specialist?
Excellent. So, and a great question. So, the way we used to think about SEO is, let's just dump this on the analyst and let them grind out some keywords for us with like really boring, tedious tasks of going in and sucking out the keywords in SpyFu, and there'll be each keyword will have some data and a column, if you will, on the pay-per-click price, the search volume, the difficulty in listing position, and even the position of what is your position in the search engines currently for that keyword phrase versus maybe even all of your competitors, right? So it's like this big dump of data. And you give it to the analyst that maybe tries to sift through them all and start looking at groupings maybe for the keywords. And then from those groupings, sort of turn those groupings into keyword silos, we call them. And then an SEO specialist is handing you, the content strategist, this god-awful list of really gnarly keywords that are really hard for you to wrap your head around and as far as topics are concerned, right? So that's the way things used to work. But I think that things should work differently. I think the content strategist should be thinking about topics right from the start. What are fascinating, interesting topics that this client should be writing about that would engage their audience and keep them coming back for more? So I think the content strategist wants to be going to BuzzSumo and thinking about topics, you know, popular topics as much as they are thinking about popular keyword phrases. And the topic categories really are the driver as far as the keyword map is concerned, in my humble opinion. That's what my thoughts are. I think this is a small scale project. I think that you should be able to do something like this in like 8 hours. This is like a day long grinding project where you have a couple of software tools open, SpyFu and BuzzSumo, let's say, and you're surfing for cool topics and putting those together. So that's my take on why a content strategist should be doing this. I want the content strategist to understand the keyword universe. I want them to be looking. I want them to almost use this data as ideation for topics, and you know, comparing that with what has actually been published and been popular and passed around the social sphere. So I want one person to do it, and I want the content strategist to be responsible for that. But this is the hardest one to do, because it does take some SEO skills to actually, you know, use a SpyFu to make that work. Does that make sense?
It does. I've spent time with those tools, and I use them to help me and my clients in certain situations. I think ideally for me, if we're talking about how I practiced it in the past,
yep.
I agree with you that what needs to be communicated really should start from the business, and the content strategist should be helping guide the business to determine what that is. And that creates the topic areas. And then from there, you find the keywords to support it that are most viable for what you need to do with your online marketing. And there could be an advantage to a business to have one person do those things. So is it possible? Yes. I think in the past, what I've tended to do is not to make the shorter end of that type of work as a content strategist, spending time with them briefly on the goals, but really spending significant time on the thinking, what those goals are, what they're aiming to accomplish, and who they are as a business again, you know, what they're, how they define their audience, what they're trying to communicate, and then doing hopefully an effective job in communicating that to their SEO team, so the SEO team can do what they do best and go into the variety of tools that they have within the context that they understand, you know, because it's not just SEO too. I mean, there's information in paid search as well, and, you know, what people are bidding on keywords, and, you know, some higher bids might be the better keywords for organic search, and, you know, how they're complementing that with what they're doing in social media. But giving them the direction of, this is who the business is, this is their brand, this is the experiences they want their customers to have, the kind of relationships they're trying to build, I think is extremely useful to the SEO team, who then can technically often present better information in regard to the keywords than somebody who's a strategist or a writer trying to dabble in it.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate. We'll come back to that. Let's leave this one here. But okay. What it sounds like to me is you can't wait to buy this product because you don't really want to do it for some of your customers. It is grinding. It is grinding. And, you know, I worry that you're going to not see the all of the data. Now, what you're going to get is actually pretty cool. You're going to get all 5,000 keywords that the SEO specialist is pulling and harvesting and referencing. And yes, you're going to see all those columns of, as I mentioned, PPC price, search volume, difficulty in ranking, and and listing positions, at least for that customer. What does the customer have any current listing positions for any of these keywords that we pulled out? So you're going to see that data, and that's in totality, and then you're going to see what they pulled out and the categories that they pushed them in, and you might decide as a strategist to change some of those strategies or move them around. But I get it. You don't want to do the research there. You'd prefer somebody else to do it, and you feel like an SEO professional should do it. I get it. Let's go to some of the next ones. I'm actually going to take this time to read all of them to you, because I think that will help you see the big picture rather than going through these one by one. So the other products that we're launching are customer journey, creative brief, buyer personas, website audit, content audit, image research, and workflow management. So what we've sort of done, Casey, is to try to productize, if you will, some of these particular functions that really tend to become part of a content plan that you and other content strategists may end up producing for your customer. And you can see how all of them in total sort of are like different sections of that content plan. And that's actually what I actually did here with this new product launch. You might remember that my journey into content marketing world, if you will, began back when Writer Access didn't exist, and prior to Writer Access, we were a full-service content marketing agency. working with customers like Walmart, the company store, Brookstone, FTD on the B2C side, and then B2B side, Salesforce, Iron Mountain. And I think I sent you over that famous, we called it Magic Mountain content plan. It was like a guide for you to see, like, Byron, what were these customers buying from you? Like, they were spending like, you know, $20,000 to $40,000 on a content plan, where we would try to map out how much content do we need? How good does it need to be? What channels do we need to publish it in? What should we be paying for these assets? And most importantly, what specifically will the ROI be for this investment of content? If you're going to prescribe to me that I need to spend $500,000 on content, well, what am I going to get for that? So the plan tried to map it all out. How much content do they need? How much is it going to cost? And all those questions I just asked a second ago. But so those were hard to work to complete. And they had, you know, topic maps on them and other cool things like that. And, you know, we were telling a customer, answering lots of questions. It was really fantastic work. But let's look at the SMB, right? Let's look at, not everyone can afford that. So, and I don't think, honestly, that all of that work, those 400 hours we would put into a content plan, I don't think it's honestly worth it, which is one reason I got out of that business. I think you can use tools efficiently and effectively. You can ask good questions of your customers. You can begin to look closely at each of these products and get value from them. And if each of them is priced at somewhere between $400 and $1,000, and you have a good content strategist working with you, the customer, look, let's just do one more together, because we could probably talk about this for hours, and then we'll go back to the to the Casey story. But let's look at the customer journey. This is, I'm going to read this one to you real quick, and let me know what your thoughts are on this. By mapping out the customer journey and documenting what your prospects and customers are experiencing in their journey, you can get the right content assets in front of them, in front of the right people at the right time. This product does all that, helping writers turn browsers into believers and buyers into word-of-mouth marketers to grow your business. So once again, you have one conference call with a client, and you review their existing content assets, and you put together this customer experience journey, if you will, that documents various stages of the journey, and you map the current content assets they have to the experience, and you put this together in a document. And it's fresh. It's not that burdensome to create. You basically are documenting what customers are thinking and feeling at various touch points throughout the journey. And you're learning that in this conference call you have with the customer, where they're answering your questions and you're sort of turning those questions into this journey for them, so they can see if they're neglecting customers at the early stages of the journey, or in the mid stage, or the end of the journey, where often where customer service takes over, you're beginning to learn what's going on, you know, from a 20,000 foot view, and how customers in fact might be neglected. What are your thoughts on the customer journey? And is that something that you would see A, valuable, and B, could put together for clients?
Well, absolutely. I see it as not just valuable, but essential to the customer. And I think it falls directly in line with what a content strategist should be doing. I think that there is the practicality that small businesses often are just getting started, or if they aren't just getting started, you know, they don't have the resources of a large company. So how deeply they can delve into researching the voice of their audience sometimes depends on the time they have available and, you know, their budget and their capacities. So if there's a way to get them started that is streamlined and cost effective and can get them thinking about this, then I think that's great. I think that it's a starting point. I think that there are some businesses that know extremely well who their customer is, and it's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of research. Uh-huh. You know, it's a matter of they've actually looked at data, or they've, you know, done focus groups, or they've really spent time answering those questions about who the customer is, you know, psychographically, what their emotions and their behaviors are in terms of engagement, not just their actions. and they could communicate that to you in a very brief moment. There are others that haven't even started to think about that, and it usually takes more than just a conversation. So it's a good starting point, and I think it's definitely the right direction for a content strategist.
Excellent. Creative brief. Let me just pick your brain on that. I won't read the description, but creative brief. A lot of our customers honestly don't know how to fill out a creative brief. Namely, you know, what's the tone and style that you want? Tell us a little bit about your company in a succinct way. What's your value proposition? You know, what kind of writing style are you looking for? Who's your target audience? You know, give some answers. Do you feel like you could go into one conference call with a customer, learn all of that data, do some research on their website, and put together a creative brief, probably for a particular asset, which is how I would, sort of set the bar on this. And that includes finding, you know, giving the customer some samples of what you had in mind with regards to tone and style, and sort of directing, if you will, sort of being like a creative director, if you will, of the content. Is that something valuable that you think a strategist should be doing? And would that be something that you could do for your customers and get paid to do that?
I think there are definitely elements of strategy that are extremely important within a creative brief. The creative brief itself might not be the direct domain of a content strategist unless they're translating their strategy, which I do, into a content marketing plan and then helping with the implementation of that. But I would say when you're talking about who you are as a business, it's if it's clear to the business and they're able to articulate that, then the task of articulating that within the creative brief is relatively easy. I mean,
yeah,
it could be a matter of minutes. If the business doesn't know who they are or haven't really been able to define it, then you're talking about work that I've spent 7 to 25 hours, depending on the company, helping them with.
Fair enough. And this is meant to be the lighter version, obviously, where the customer does know how to articulate this. You're really just putting it together and making it a little bit cleaner and easier for a writer to interpret quickly, right? Because this creative brief is designed for the writer, and they really need someone like you to talk their language and to make sure it makes sense. And the right style, for example, is being articulated for a blog post versus a brochure, right? So those are two different types of creative briefs, and you, the strategist, understand that, but the client often will not. And we see that on orders that they place where they'll just literally, no matter what the asset is, they'll use the same creative brief. And the writer will recognize that and say to themselves, well, you really don't have a writing style variation between any of your work. You just want to preach your benefits and your features all over the place, you know.
Let me give you an analogy.
Yeah.
Let's say somebody's running for a political office. And they say, I really need somebody. I'm going to be campaigning across various cities. I need somebody to make sure that my speeches are coordinated, that I want individual speech writers who understand kind of the local environment and can appeal to that particular crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the person charged with making sure all those local writers write a speech that aligns with that candidate's political platform, then that type of creative brief looks very different than if you receive a candidate who says, okay, can you do this? And you say yes, and then you ask, what's your political platform? And they say, I don't really know. Then you're not actually working on the task at hand, which happens a lot in this industry, is you're working on helping them with their thinking and their ideas and the development of themselves as a candidate, rather than just that particular task they assigned you to. On the other hand, if they're very clear about their platform, they've articulated it in writing, and they know exactly how it needs to be communicated and what they're trying to accomplish, that position may not even be necessary. I mean, they may be able to communicate directly with the local writers, and the local writers could help them saying, okay, this is the information that I need to create this particular speech. So I think a creative brief is an interesting topic because it's definitely related to content strategy. I think it can be the realm of content strategists, but I also think it has many parts that depending on the company's understanding of themselves, their audience, can be fleshed out by different people and at different costs. So I know that's a complicated answer, but I also kind of think about Einstein's quote about make, and I'm paraphrasing, but make everything in life as simple as possible, but not simpler. I think that's also kind of the reality of how that's played out in at least what I've seen over the last 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're stressing more the brief part of creative brief, not the creative strategy. This isn't sort of a, you know, it's funny, creative briefs were originated back in the day where advertising agencies would put together a creative brief for the project and really make the internal creative team within, say, Hill Holiday, where I worked, make them understand what this customer wants and what their DNA was and what the project was all about and the limitations and who the media, where this was going to run and the target audience and the visibility and any specifics or input from the customers. A creative brief was meant to update the creative team on what the limitations were and or expansive opportunities for a campaign that was typically going to be created. This is more of like an order instruction, a writing style brief, you know, where, and I might change the name of that inspired by this conversation, just sort of a writing style brief, where really what we're trying to do is to almost inspire, you know, have the strategist come in and inspire the freelance writer with a really cool writing style brief that helps the bar be set a certain height on what the expectations are for the content to be great, right? So this is an opportunity for the strategist to motivate and to inspire and to show a sample of a great, great example of tone and style and wit and or authority and or sources and referencing and, you know, whatever the customer wants or whatever the strategist feels will make the content great. For example, distinguishing a blog strategy to be, okay, I either want the blog post to be well-researched in 1,000 words or opinionated so it drives some interest and helps to shed some light on our DNA, right? So that's a writing style brief, and that's a decision that the strategist is making on behalf of or in tune with the goals of the customer. So you're articulating. So you're interviewing the customer for an hour, and you're going back and spending a couple more hours creating a creative brief, and it's for one asset type, and you're looking at what they've done. So you know what I mean? So it's a quick pop, but sometimes if we to use your, you know, your point, we need to strip this stuff and make it simple. You know, we've got millions of orders, over 1 million orders now that have gone through Writer Access, and we haven't had really good creative briefs created. Damn, wouldn't that content be much better if we could get a professional content strategist taking a few hours to help a customer out and really aim that content in the right direction with clarity on how to distinguish that content from the crap that could be produced and cluttered in the marketplace? That's what we're looking for. So let's go to the next one, buyer personas. How hard do you think it is to do those?
Well, that's where I think, depending on the product you're offering, I would be very interested in using the services and the products that Writer Access has for helping facilitate that. I think as a content strategist, it's extremely important to know who those buyers are. I think that there are conversations, guided conversations, there's systems thinking that could help businesses better define that. But I think they're also better defined when there's research involved. So have you given thought to helping the content strategist with tools that would enable them to do some research on the business's audience to inform those buyer personas?
I think that the insights really need to come from the client and their own tools like Google Analytics and some other, certainly some competitive intelligence tools exist out there that may be able to help. What kind of tools do you have in mind, Casey, that you would love to either have access to or insights from?
Yeah, this is definitely an area that I would like to be better informed in. I do know that there are several applications, for example, that look at sentiment in social media, through comments, or that they kind of automatize the way you're looking at specific topics that reoccur in reviews. Or there are, I think it's usertesting.com that actually enables customers to go in, use their platform, view a content asset or a website or a social media channel, and then you could ask distinct questions of them, and their whole experience as they're doing it online is recorded so that you have an idea of how they're talking through it as they go. Actually standard or reliable and valid survey tools rather than just questions that might be biased or aren't developed by somebody that has a sense of how do you create these questions in a way that actually gives you the information that you're seeking. So things like that.
Yeah, no, it's all good to have access to. And, you can begin to understand now, everyone listening in, how new this profession is, and asking one person, a content strategist, to have this ability to quickly get to the answers. Can it be done? I think it can. Will it be, incredibly accurate? Potentially, if it's backed by good data and if it works. But sometimes we need to keep both content marketing and content strategy simple. I look back on the writers, Casey, that are right now really completely blind with most of the challenges of target audience. For example, just look at buyer personas. I would rather have a good content strategist tell us a little bit about their three most popular customers that they would like their content written for. A third of our companies are agencies, a third of our companies are SMBs, and a third of our companies are Fortune 500. Okay, that alone would help me, That's a big improvement. Just listing those three names alone would be interesting. Now, if we then have the customer do some research, like, great, could you tell me more about agencies, one of your personas? Are they from a local area, particular area? Oh, my gosh, they are. They're all from Texas. Okay, that's very helpful. Agency from Texas. Got it. So this is what's not happening in our platform right now. And even if it is, it's not presented in a way that's easy for a writer to ascertain or understand without often reading through, a lot of – sometimes we have customers that know so much data about their customers, they just type it all out and write it all out, and it's almost – honestly, it's too much data. We're looking for quick guides, quick reads, and quick – quick access to the, in this case, the buyer persona. Who are these people? Tell me the data. And I think the customer here really has the data. I don't think it's general data that's harvested from tools on the web. You can certainly get data on, competitive intelligence. And to you said, you can do focus, sort of live focus group testings. You can get super deep on reaction to creative work. You can look at A/B testing and multivariate testing. That would be very interesting to look at writing a buyer persona, looking at A/B test results, to look at different, compare different language you've used or images that you've used. That to me is like a really nice bullet point under personas. Our most conversive customers seem to appeal to, these elements on a landing page. We've also learned that these agencies in Texas are not responsive to the following set of things. So, how do we learn that? You know what I mean? How do we learn that quickly?
Messages.
Yeah.
That we're communicating that are not mutually exclusive. And I think they could actually be complementary. Mm-hmm. It's just we're on different ends of the spectrum in how we're talking about it. So yep. like any pursuit, if you want to be a professional football player or you want to be a professional dancer, mm-hmm. there's a depth in which you can go that can continue for the rest of your life. And at the highest level, there's never an end point. You're constantly learning. You're constantly growing. So when we're talking about strategy per se, I think one of the key things that distinguishes it from a plan or tactics is the fact that you are constantly testing, you're constantly adapting, you're constantly thinking in order to optimize what you're doing, in this case with your communication. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say that we're not looking at tactics. We have to look at tactics. It's a necessary part of seeing things manifest in reality. So when we're looking at something like a creative brief, there's very simple things that can be done that can be meaningful to the client and can have value to the client and can be a starting point. And I think that's where you're going, is let's get some of these people either started or let's help them take the next step. But I also think it's very important to recognize that if it's dance, for example, and I'm teaching you a specific dance style in a club for an hour, you know, and that for you qualifies as I am now a dancer of salsa or a dancer of hip hop, and you believe that that's the end game, then that's not correct either. That is a good step to take, but there's a long path that could be traveled to become something that qualifies as a professional dancer. So it's just how far do you want to go with what you're doing? You know, what effects do you want to see and where do you want to start? But recognizing both, I think, are very important, that there are easy steps that can be taken to get started, but this is a journey, right? It's not an endpoint.
Fair enough. I'll just mention a couple of others here. The website audit is sort of interesting, and the content audit are worthy. Those are really the final two products we'll talk about, and then we'll close this wonderful discussion sure. out, Casey. It's really fun to chat with you. You're super knowledgeable, and you look at things both from the creation side as well as the purchase side, namely, wouldn't it be cool to buy these products for some of your customers? The website audit is interesting. You know, full disclosure, I love Mike Roberts. Is a friend of mine. I've known him forever. His technology is integrated in with our content analytics inside of Writer Access. He's got a really cool product called Recon Report, which a lot of agencies actually white label and use. We were going to try to set up, our Recon Report as part of this website audit function, so a customer would actually get a SpyFu Recon Report that has tons of data on it. Moz, mm-hmm. of course, has some other cool things as well. And I think probably, you let the customers say, great, which tool do you want to use? And there's a special price to get the report done. You know, do you want the Moz report? Do you want the SpyFu report? Oh, my gosh, a customer wants both of those reports. They want a website audit done, right? So mm-hmm. These are important things that customers need to see and a content strategist needs to see and even potentially a writer working on the project. So what's your take on website audit? Is that something that you as a strategist would love to see, to quickly learn what the website's visibility is in the search engines so you can get a much deeper understanding as to why a site is not generating more traffic or what the obstacles are for success? Is that something that you as a strategist would like to see, and have you seen reports like the SpyFu Recon report?
Yes, I have. And I think I was actually on a webinar with you and Mike at one point. So I started using his tools after that time. So there's value to all of this. And I think that it depends on what your purpose is and what perspective you're taking. But if you know your communications plan or strategy clearly, and you've already gone through and said, does this tool align with what my customers want to see, when they want to see it, and where they want to see it, on a higher level. If you're looking at that and saying, okay, I know what the message is I want to communicate, I believe this is what they want to see, when they want to see it, and where they want to see it, then I think those tools could be helpful to say, all right, let's challenge that assumption. Does the data support that people are actually seeing it at all? Does it support that there are indicators of engagement? Does it show that even though Google is very strong about appealing to the user, not the algorithms, there's the reality that the algorithms still have to be able to interpret what the user is doing, and there's a technical aspect. And if those tools are helping you with the technical side of it, then I think that they can reinforce what you're trying to learn as a content strategist, or at least help your customers learn. I do think that those tools, in my experience, have been used mostly by the SEO team in support of the content strategy, but I could see where if you're just working with a company or a business, being able to look at those and have a glance at those and to inform the conversation you have to be helpful too.
Got it. Sounds like you like the website audit and you've seen the recon report. It's just a nice little helpful, simple piece of data. But the strategist needs to do more with that. They need to look at it and say, I have discovered some major obstacles as to why your traffic is not growing. If we create more content around this topic, we'll probably drive more traffic because you have no keywords on your website related to that. Or you have, your 404 errors or 301 redirects are not done properly, blah, 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 blah. The content strategist, Casey, and the vision in the world that I'm trying to put forth has got to make decisions. And SEO is no longer something you just dump on these SEO specialists that are, the content strategist has got to use these smart tools and understand how to make them work, to get them to perform to the level that is we needed to harvest the right data to make decisions on content strategy. One final one I'll go over with you with content audit. This is remarkably difficult. There's not a tool that I know about it, even though I was just visiting with Mike Roberts, actually, out in Arizona. I was at a conference out there called PartnerCon, an Infusionsoft conference. And I met up with Mike at the hotel I was staying in and sat down with him for a couple hours. And we've been working diligently on trying to get bridge this gap between his wonderful technology tool that will tell you everything about your competition and your website that you could possibly know on screens that are simply showing it to you in seconds right in front of you, and this content creation world that I play in and how to create great content. So one of the painful exercises that we had to put together for content, for what I call a content audit, is to literally go in and look and see as quickly as possible how much content all of your competitors are creating, right? Unless we know the answer to that, we don't really know how much content we are going to need to create. I mean, what's their blog content look like? How good is their content? How frequently are they publishing? What type of content assets are they creating? These are all how many webinars have they done or are they promoted? How many books are downloadable on their website? These are critical questions, and you really can't be a content strategist and not know the answers to that. But super bad news here, this is really manual work. You have to go look at the websites and count the assets and of course, get a feel for publishing frequency, and that can change, which is difficult as well. And so you need to know what you're up against if you're a content strategy in terms of at least a small universe of assets. Have you done this for your customers? Have you ever been hired to put together a content audit of how they stack up with the competition? And even if you haven't, can you understand why that would be important, and therefore how much time are you putting into that?
Well, I've been hired to do it directly, but informally, and it tends to be a part of a lot of what I do once the content strategy is fairly well known and we're moving into the content marketing and the implementation to look at, okay, what are some ideas out there in terms of who's producing content effectively to appeal to the audience that we're trying to appeal to, and what can we know about what they're producing, and are there some benchmarks that we could take away from that? And so I think that's great information to have, And I think that it plays into the bigger picture. So having a tool like that would be valuable. I think that there is a notion of best practices that I tend to challenge with my clients, not to say that there are things that you can benchmark that can be extremely useful. I do it all the time. I mean, if I'm trying to learn something and there's an expert out there like yourself, you know, I want to learn from that expert. But I think you have to ask yourself, and this is where I'm kind of distinguishing SEO from the strategist, and that's the point of this example, is beyond just getting traffic, it's really saying, am I making a distinction in the way that I'm not only communicating about my business, but the way my business products and services are meeting unique needs of my audience, and in the way that I'm sharing that with my audience in all that I'm doing. So I think this kind of information is extremely helpful for saying, this is what my audience tends to look at, and that tells me something about the audience. This is what they tend to respond to, which tells me something about my audience. These are some ideas that I could potentially utilize. But I think you have to come back to the thinking and say, you know, is this the same for me? I mean, you know, is why my competitor thriving in this area? Do I have the same environment? That wasn't said well, but am I in the same environment as my competitor? Do I have the same factors that will make it work? Are there inhibiting factors? You know, is there something different about their audience? So it's part of a whole, and it's an important part, and it's a useful part. But I, as a strategist, I think you have to, you know, ask those questions to make sure that we're not just grabbing and going.
Spot on, Casey. It's what I enjoy so much about talking with you is you're going to just give it to me straight up every time we talk and share your concerns and your insights. But it's been really fun talking with you today. I want to thank you for your time and expressing your thoughts on some of our products and sharing some ideas on how you've become a content strategist.
Awesome. Thank you, Byron, and thank you for the mentorship, and thank you for the platform, and thank you for always being willing to have an open conversation like this. I mean, I obviously challenge my own perspective in these conversations, and I think that's part of the work we do as strategists, is that we need to be growing too. So I appreciate the time as well.
Indeed. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Thanks for listening, and happy writing. You can join us each week for a new podcast. Check out Writer Podcasts on Stitcher, iTunes, and our website, writeraccess.com.